Then finally, Barbara, for an update on investor relations.
How are our investors doing?
Our investors are good. That's my question. Hi, everyone. I know I'm standing between you and the end of your day, so I'll try to be
No.
Quick.
The day is still long. We have a quiz coming up.
That's true. We have a quiz coming up. So the reason I wanted to come to the meeting was to give you a brief overview of what we've been doing for the past month, and so you have a timely update on the investor activities we've been doing and some initial feedback on some of the projects that we've been talking to them about. So this doesn't replace the staff's updates that they give you in their board papers. They'll give you more detailed summaries on user feedback. We sent out what we were calling a save-the-date email to our user contacts, and we told them we will be setting up meetings for insurance and for leases and for impairment, which we're doing now. And we did that, so we were trying to, we're sensitive to users being bombarded by our requests. So what we're trying to do now is to give them, to alert them of meetings, kind of numerous meetings that we'll be talking to them about at the same time so they can plan ahead in their calendars. And we've had some positive feedback to the email. We've set up a lot of meetings on impairment from that email, and we'll set up some other meetings on leases and insurance. We're involving FASB to the extent we can, or I think we're doing almost all joint meetings with the FASB on leases and joint to as much as we can on impairment. We also involve EFRAG in our calls with the European users to the extent possible, so that the EFRAG user panel doesn't have to go back and also ask them the same questions. And we ask users first if they're okay with that, and they've been pretty welcoming of that approach. We are also planning a leases roadshow for investors, and that is actually targeted for users or investors that haven't been following the leases project. So what we're planning on doing, but we think those investors will be affected by the leases proposals. So we're going out as kind of like an education on the project and to broaden our feedback from users. And we'll be doing that in the US and in Europe and in Asia. And we're trying to figure out if there are any other locations we need to target. That should be starting in June after the exposure draft. So we had some initial feedback to date on impairment. I have to stress it's very initial, so we've just started our feedback and we've just started talking to users. So we're still in the early stages. But some of the feedback we've received is a request for some more disaggregation or information about changes in expected, I'm sorry, about the impairment loss that is in the income statement. So, for example, they're asking about more information if the loss represents new assets that have been brought on, if it represents changes in expectations versus changes from 12 months to lifetime expected losses or back again. So they're asking for more disaggregation than we've already proposed in the exposure draft. And so we're going to get more information about that and see how it matches with what we're proposing. I think generally the people we've talked to on our side have supported our model. I know that in the US, the FASB staff have talked to users there and who've been also supportive of the FASB model. So we'll see how things go as we talk to more people. But we have had some people we've spoken to have questioned the judgment that will be used to determine significant deterioration in credit quality. Others have questioned in general relying too much on management's judgments. I think we hear that a lot anyway, but we understand that's kind of the nature of a lot of the estimates we make today. Interestingly, there has also been discussions about the incurred loss model, and there has been one or two people we spoke to who actually prefer the incurred loss model over the expected loss model, thinking that actually the incurred loss model isn't broken. One person in particular thought maybe we should just remove the objective evidence of impairment in the incurred loss model, and that would make the model what we need it to be. So the people we've spoken to include the buy and sell side analysts. It includes the Canadian User Advisory Council. We've spoken to a lot of people on the CRUFs, and we've spoken to eight rating agencies so far. We've also told users or investors about the field work we're preparing to do with numerous banks and how we're going to ask the banks to look at the changes in various macroeconomic factors and compare what their losses and their allowances would be with IAS 39, with lifetime expected losses, and also with the TPA. And so the users we've spoken to seem to be pretty, they're interested in the field work and they want to see how the model is responsive over time. So we're going to give them that information after the field work is finished. On some other projects, our classification and measurement, we've gone out and we've tried to get more extensive feedback on the proposals. So we're working to talk to more users, specifically on the proposed fair value through OCI category. We're also drafting a survey to send out to analysts to try to broaden our outreach to analysts on the fair value OCI category. So there'll be 5 questions about that. Hopefully it'll give us a little bit more information. We have joint meetings with the FASB as much as we can when we talk to users about this. And again, we've spoken to the CMAC, the Canadian User Advisory Council, CRUFS, similar types of people as impairment. So the team's going to bring a detailed summary back to you next month. But the feedback we've gotten to date anyway from users has been mixed. So there's 2 ends of the spectrum. You know, there's one end that prefer keeping 2 categories for simplicity, so 2 categories of financial asset classification. They don't welcome a third. At the other end, there are users that are very happy with this third model. They think it fits well with what we've proposed as a business model, and they think that because there's added complexity in that business model, this category is justified. And then there are some that are in the middle that are indifferent as to whether or not they have the model, as long as they understand the model and the information they get. So that's why we're trying to go out and reach out to more and get some more information. The FREG user panel has also done a field test asking companies to apply their IFRS 9 proposals, the entire IFRS 9 plus the proposed changes, to some of their portfolios to see what movement there would be in classification and measurement from IAS 39. And also if there were any practical difficulties that companies have encountered. So I think their survey is closed, so they're going to send us their preliminary results soon.
This is the IFREG user panel?
It's the staff, the staff on the user panel.
It sounds more like the preparer than, I mean, the questions were to preparers, not?
The questions were to preparers. That's true. But I think they were doing it to that's a fair point. I think they were doing it to understand the effects that users could look at that. On the conceptual framework, we've started speaking to users about that as well. So we've discussed the conceptual framework project with the CMAC at their meeting in March. We've also spoken to the corporate reporting advisory group a few times about the conceptual framework. Concerns, I think you're probably aware of the concerns that have been raised about stewardship and prudence and reliability. We also discussed the staff proposal about using an expanded statement of equity to show more clearly different types of claims on equity. And a number of the users we spoke to have expressed some interest in this, but they also raised concerns about understandability and complexity of these proposals. They understand that they're in the early stages, but some thought it might actually be easier or simpler to define equity quite narrowly as the most residual claim on the entity. So the staff is going back and looking at those suggestions. And also, a lot of the feedback we received indicated that the investors are mostly interested in the levels of dilution or potential dilution that could occur based on the instruments that the entity is issuing, rather than necessarily having more complexity in the statement of equity. But we'll see where that goes.
Barbara, on this topic, dilution, is noted that the earnings per share, the fully diluted earnings per share that we require today, could address this concern rather than remeasuring equity. I think we have to keep in the picture that there is today a tool to assess dilution, which is earnings per share fully diluted.
I think the concern was if there are instruments that wouldn't get into the fully diluted earnings per share calculation, but I don't have an example for you.
Actually,
we can certainly clarify that.
Out of the money options.
Thank you.
But Barbara, what I recalled of that discussion from CMAC was that some of the people saying if we had access to more information about the EPS calculation and how it was done, it would show us that dilution. But I think they were concerned that sometimes the only information they would get was essentially the diluted number, and that if there was more visibility into some of the mechanics, they would seeing how earnings were being allocated, that might achieve much the same as the debt equity proposals. It wasn't a conclusion, but I think it was a comment about why EPS doesn't address that today for them.
Well, it's because the method's wrong. I mean, we use the Treasury method and it just doesn't do it.
Okay, Barbara?
Not to scream, but I didn't remember that.
Before they go into the technical.
We could just solve it right here.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
The outreach on impairment. So you say the FASB is doing outreach to U.S. investors, and U.S. investors are supporting the FASB model. We're doing outreach to European investors. Rest of the world may support our model. So
it's
why don't
very
we do?
Early days for us.
Yeah.
I have to say.
So why don't we do joint outreach? We both present each model. We have a bit more of an objective.
We have. Actually, I think we've said we would be doing joint outreach as well, and I can't say that the U.S. meetings were, I think
so
we were
also
involved in
some. Have we participated
in
any FASB outreach because they're further ahead than us?
We had some involvement in the U.S. Some of the staff were there last, in the U.S. during the three-way dialogue meetings, and we will also,
I was there. We didn't do any joint outreach there.
Okay. I'm sorry. I thought Sue had been doing joint outreach there.
That was the idea, that we would be doing some joint outreach.
I'm happy to follow that up. But, for example, we talked to Cruft this week, and we did actually have a joint discussion. But the result of that discussion was that they wanted to see the results of the field testing before they could really give us a better. They wanted to see more of the numbers and how the different models, the actual numbers for the models. So, but you're right, we do need to set up, and we intend to have more joint meetings to the extent we can.
Because the knowledge level amongst the investors is obviously mixed and often not a great deal of technical knowledge, and therefore there is usually a tendency to listen to an argument and say, well, that sounds plausible, yeah, I agree. So it's kind of not surprising.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's a fair point. And we also, both staff need to hear both sides, too, of the reasons for the support for the models. So. That is one of the things we were tasked to do, is to try to have more joint outreach, and we've just started ours, but we need to try to do that more. I agree. At least for the user side, I don't know what's happening on the preparer side. A couple more meetings I wanted to mention. We had the just to round it off. We did have our Capital Markets Advisory Committee meeting. The last one was in March, and some of the board members here attended that. We talked about the conceptual framework, which is when we talked about liabilities, equity as well. We talked about insurance. We talked about classification and measurement, and we posted minutes to the meeting on the website yesterday so that people can have a documented. It's on the public website. And the next CMAC meeting will be a joint meeting with the Global Preparers Forum in June. So we have a proposed agenda of discussing some amendments to IS-1. And the lease proposals will discuss that, lessee and disclosures focus, and conceptual framework performance and other comprehensive income again. So the last year, the joint meeting had breakout sessions, so they had a discussion of a topic, and then the users and preparers would break out into groups that discuss the topic and bring it back for discussion. And that's the format we're intending to do for this meeting as well. In March, we also had a table at the Consumer Analysts Group of Europe conference with the FRAG user panel staff. And the intention there was to try to also reach out to analysts and get our name there and get more contacts. And we ended up having about 25 people come over to the table. And we've now made some more contacts with some of the analysts that we'd like to speak to. And we've actually had some meetings come out of those contacts. So it was an interesting, it was good. It was an interesting conference, and I think it was useful for us to attend. And the last meeting I was going to mention, actually we had a meeting with a French analyst, with Philippe, last week in Paris, and we discussed the proposed models with them, or Philippe explained the proposed projects that we have. And we also had a meeting with the European Federation of Financial Analyst Societies, EFAS, in March, and they gave us some very targeted feedback on specific disclosures in financial statements. So, about disclosing information about line items or impairment or taxes or pensions. And we also talked about the conceptual framework project a little bit. The last thing I wanted to talk about, and I think this has been an ongoing theme, is trying to encourage our user community to send us comment letters to the extent they can, understanding the resources are constrained. But we're trying to, and we're also trying to think of ways that, and Hillary was also doing this, to make more public the information we receive from them, because we need to get the information that we receive from users, the feedback we receive, to be on the public website so more people can have access to that and to read the same information and make their own judgments. So that was my update.
Any questions for Barbara?
Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. That brings us to the end of our...